Well, good morning. If you would turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to work through the text that was just read by Dan. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Our message today is titled, Preach the Word. Now, Paul gives this charge, and why does he give this charge? Well, he goes on to tell us that there's coming a time when men and women will no longer endure sound doctrine or sound teaching, and they will run around and try to find preachers who will preach what they want to hear. Many today do not want to hear that there's only one road to God. They want to hear that there are many roads to God. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. People today don't want to hear that marriage is between a man and a woman. And they try to pair a bunch of people that don't belong together. Marriage is between a man and a woman, period. There is no other definition in the Word of God. So that's what we're contending with today. People don't want to hear sound biblical preaching and teaching. So let's work through this text. First of all, Paul gives the admonition. The admonition. Notice verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You see, Paul's telling Timothy, we need to think long term. We need to look to the end of the Christian race. We need to look at the long term consequences. We need to live with eternity in view. That's what Paul's telling Timothy here. Notice he says, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, the only thing that will matter is, were you born again? Were you faithful to the Word of God? You see, many today are not willing to live with eternity in view. You know, they say, well, you know what? You only live once. Right? You only go around once, and that's the philosophy that many people have. But the problem with that philosophy is you got to go around on the other side. And you go around on the other side a lot longer than you go around on this side. Jesus is coming back, Paul says. We need to preach the Word. We need to be ready for Jesus when He returns, because He's coming back. And by the way, what we do for the Lord is very important. Our service in this world is extremely important. We preach the gospel, right? Our job, our commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. That is our charge and our responsibility. We make a difference. We make a difference, an eternal difference. We bring people to Christ. That's important. We worship God. We point people to the Word of God. We remind folks that every single day to set your affections on the things above, not on the things that are on this life. That's what we need to encourage people to do. Set your affections on the things above. Don't live for the here and now. God's church has an impact on our lives. A tremendous impact upon our lives. An impact that no other organization could have. You see, in this place, lives are transformed. When people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, often marriages are begun in the family of God. Families are kept together. People are given hope and comfort. Eternity is determined here. You're not going to get that at the local sports bar or the arena or some civic club. You're going to get that here in this place with God's people. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. And so Paul gives this admonition to live with eternity in view. Oh, I think if we live that way, it would change things. I think we would live better. If we truly live with eternity in view, we would live much holier and godly lives if we lived with eternity in view. Paul wants us to know that Jesus is coming again, and when He does, He will judge the living and the dead. That is, He will judge those in His kingdom and those outside of His kingdom. Some folks will be lost. So the admonition, live with eternity in view. Secondly, notice the charge that Paul gives here. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Preach the word. Regardless of how it's received, preach the word. And by the way, this charge is not just for preachers. This charge is for every member of the body of Christ. This is for all believers in Jesus Christ. Your job is to proclaim divine truth, just like my job is. But my job is to do it before the congregation like this. But all of us are out in the world, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and we have opportunities to engage people in conversations about God, about Christ. And it's absolutely essential that we proclaim truth. You see, the church must lift up its voice and proclaim truth. We must be instant in season and out of season, the Apostle Paul. It's not enough just to come into this place and just sing without a piano and take the Lord's Supper. No, we have to lift up our voices and proclaim the Word of God to be ready in season, out of season. Notice verse 3 and verse 4, Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and will be turned aside unto fables." How sad when you have truth that's being proclaimed and people say, "We don't want truth. We want falsehood. We want error." I can't even imagine people like that. You see, we need to proclaim the Word of God. And we need to proclaim what the Word of God teaches. The Bible is sacred. The Bible is God's inspired Word, and it's true. Life is sacred. Abortion is murder. I think the Bible is clear. Much of what we preach, much of what we teach is counter-cultural. It goes against the grain of our culture. And it's going to create problems when we do this. But we still must lift up our voices and proclaim the Word of God. Listen, we must preach the Word, not entertain. My job is not to entertain. My job is not to get up here and tell a variety of stories and jokes. Although there's nothing wrong with telling a story and preaching, and there's nothing wrong with jokes. But my job is not to entertain. My job is to proclaim the Word of God. And so we must, I believe, be fresh and relevant, but we have to be biblical. We have to be biblical. And often when people talk about being fresh and relevant, they're in a sense talking about not being biblical. It's preaching what people want to hear. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, the Word of God is such a powerful thing. It's a powerful force. And when that Word gets into the human heart, it begins to work. God does a work. His Word convicts. It rebukes. When we're not living right, it rebukes us and calls us to get our life in line with His Word. It brings about conviction. It cuts. And sometimes we don't like maybe what the Word of God teaches, but it's the Word of God. And we have to go with God's Word. It is a powerful, powerful Word. It changes the lives of people. God uses the Word to proclaim the message of salvation. And so the church must be faithful to its charge, and we must preach the Word. The Word. Now this command, I believe, has fallen on hard time. And this is a command. This is in the imperative mood, by the way. So this is a command. Paul is saying, preach the Word. That's our job. That's our responsibility, to proclaim truth. And then lastly, the reward. The reward. Listen to Paul in verses 6 through 8. We already know, according to verse 1, Jesus is coming. When he does, he'll judge the living and the dead. And then verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. He says, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so we know from the Word of God that the rewards that are in our future are both earthly and eternal. They're earthly and eternal. You know, Jesus said that no one who is left, I have that switch. No one who's left mother, father, brother, sister, wife, children, etc. And he says, who will not receive a hundredfold in this life and eternal life to go. So Paul says, We're rewarded in this life. So when we forsake mother, father, brother, sister, when we forsake all to follow Jesus, there are earthly rewards that come with that. Now, do they always come with that and all people get the same? No. But I think the Bible is clear. There are earthly rewards. But then there is the heavenly reward. So we actually get the both of best of both worlds here. We get the best. So we get the best of what this life has to offer and eternity to come. Now, Paul is encouraging Timothy to stay the course. And this is important because many people, Paul talks about that here in Timothy, have made shipwreck of their faith. So many people become careless and complacent in their faith in Christ. And as a result, they don't continue the journey and they bail out or they make shipwreck of their faith. They fall into sin and rebellion against God, and they continue in that lifestyle. Paul says, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul says, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered to Satan, that they may not blaspheme. And so, and then the word prior to that is shipwreck. So these two people are an example of those who had made shipwreck of their faith. We're not to do that. We're to stay the course, continue to follow Jesus all the way until Jesus shows up in the clouds of heaven to take us home. We must be faithful. And if we are, then we have the reward. And he makes it very clear in verse 8, finally, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. That's the victory. That's the crown of righteousness. And so there is the reward. And so let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing as far as the admonition to live for eternity? Are you living for eternity, or are you simply living for this world and the things of this world? How are you doing? When it comes to proclaiming the Word of God, how are you doing? Are you lifting up God's Word? Are you talking to people about Jesus? Because that's the charge. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You want to go to heaven? You want to be with God when this life concludes? I sure hope so. But in order to do that, we need to be faithful. You see, God doesn't judge us on our church attendance. God judges us based on our faithfulness to the Word of God. That's what God will judge us on. John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you will judge you in the last day." And so God is going to judge us based on our faithfulness to His Word. And that's why it's so vital that we preach the Word, because we're going to be judged based on how we follow God's Word. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, listen to what Paul says and obey. Do what Paul is encouraging us to do. If you don't know Jesus and you don't have a relationship with Him, let me just remind you that there's coming a day when you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account of your life to Him. And all that's going to matter on that day is, were you born again? Jesus says in John chapter 3 and verse 5, "Except a man is born in water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Unless you experience new birth, you can't enter God's kingdom. If you've never experienced that new birth, we want to encourage you this morning. We're going to sing a song. And while we sing this song, it's to encourage you to get out of your seat, come forward, and make the good confession, and be baptized into Jesus Christ. If that's your desire, we hope and pray that it is. We hope you'll respond to the invitation as we sing.